Welcome to Clinical Conversations, a Journal Watch podcast. It's for the week ending May 28th, and this is podcast number 89. I'm Joe Elia. Our previous podcasts are all available at podcasts.jwatch.org. And for a selective review of the current literature of medicine, set your browser to jwatch.org. Well, this is Clinical Conversation, so what are we doing this week talking about glasses? You'll be pleasantly surprised at how relevant this is to your older patients, so listen in. First, we start with a summary of the week's top clinical news. Well, it's effectively summer here in the Northern Hemisphere, and the American Academy of Pediatrics says it's time to think about youngsters and swimming pools. Counseling parents about safety isn't a waste of anyone's time. 1,100 children in the U.S. died from drowning in the last year that statistics are available for. The Academy also says, reversing an earlier standpoint on the matter, that it's not unreasonable to start teaching youngsters how to swim at a very early age. Next, beta blockers have been withheld from patients with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease because of fears that symptoms could worsen. An observational study in the Netherlands, however, finds that COPD patients taking beta blockers had lower mortality and fewer exacerbations over the course of the 7 years of follow-up. The study appears in the Archives of Internal Medicine. Next, the New England Journal of Medicine has just published the results of the CREST trial comparing endarterectomy versus stenting in carotid artery stenosis. The results seem to favor endarterectomy as the preferred treatment. Why? Well, in the long term, stent recipients showed a higher rate of stroke or death. In patients undergoing endarterectomy, there was a higher rate of MI within 30 days of the procedure, but stent recipients had a higher rate of stroke in that period. Next, Lancet released online some intriguing HIV data. Among some 3,400 couples in Africa, only one of whom was seropositive, or I should say only one of the couple members was seropositive at the start of a two-year study, transmission risk rates between partners dropped by over 90% once the seropositive partner started on antiretroviral therapy. It's a very big deal, and the results argue in favor of the test-and-treat approach, in which treatment starts right after someone gets a positive HIV-1 test. Who will pay? We don't know. But who will pay if we don't address the problem? And that's it for the news. Now, on to the interview. You're listening to Clinical Conversations. BMJ this week published a study on preventing falls among the elderly by encouraging their use of single focal length glasses during activities outside the home. The researchers randomized over 60 regular wear. Randomized over 600 regular wearers of multifocal glasses, that is, bifocals, trifocals, and progressive lenses, to either receive a single focal length pair of glasses for use outdoors, or to usual eye care, including an updated prescription, which, according to my reading, is probably what I need. Here's where it got intriguing. After a year, the fall rates didn't differ significantly between the groups, but when they were stratified according to their activity levels, the more active patients showed a significantly reduced risk for falls with single-focus glasses, and the less active ones showed a non-significant increase in falls with single-focus glasses. We've invited the authors in for a chat, and we have with us, from Sydney, Australia, the paper's senior author, Professor Stephen Lord, of the Prince of Wales Medical Research Institute at the University of New South Wales. Thank you for this, for you early morning call, Professor.
Oh, thank you.
I wanted to ask, what got you interested in this problem, and what surprised you most about your findings?
Well, this study forms part of a lot of the research we do here that's all trying to understand instability in old people and risk factors for falls. Mm-hmm. So as part of our work, we've looked at a number of other types of risk factors like impaired balance and reduced strength, and other interventions. But one of the important things that kept coming out was vision as a risk factor for falls, and the anecdotal evidence early on that people who were wearing bifocal glasses and multifocal glasses indicated that they had trouble negotiating the environment when wearing these glasses, and they thought, you know, that they were the reason why they might have fallen. So step one was to actually do a prospective study to actually see if this was the case. And in our initial study of 156 people, we did find that regular wearers of multifocal glasses had double the risk of falls. So the next question after that, of course, is, well, if that's the case, if we do a randomized control trial and provide these people with a single lens pair of glasses when they're walking outside, will it actually reduce falls? And we found out that, yes, it did in those who regularly went outside.
Could there have been an effect that the people who didn't regularly go outside but got these new glasses were encouraged to do so somehow by they felt more enabled by that, and thus they had more opportunities for falls? Or what do you think was happening there?
That's always a possibility. It's unknown sometimes. You get some unusual effects from an intervention, and because we're addressing just one risk factor, you don't know sometimes if you're just sort of giving possibly a false sense of security that the person now is, you know, risk-free, and their exposure might go up. In this particular study, I'm not sure that happened so much, but what I think is that we expected the intervention to work when people were outside, because we anticipate that if you're in your own familiar environment in the home, you know the hazards fairly well, and you can cope with basically what's an elective disability when you're wearing multifocals, because the bottom part of your visual field is blurred.
Yes.
But it's the situations when you're outside in unfamiliar territory, and you know you're distracted and you don't see an obstacle on the sidewalk or a hazard, and that's likely to be a factor in the fall. Now, for those who didn't go out all that often, I think, you know, there was a tendency that they were the older ones and the more frail people, and it possibly just might have been that the switching between the glasses and, you know, just the issue of having two pairs of glasses a little bit too much. So that was one of the factors in the equation, we think.
Do you yourself wear multifocal glasses?
I do. I'm a single study going on at the moment. And I'm in my 50s, and what I find is that they do have all the conveniences that are indicated, you know, by, you know, Benjamin Franklin was the inventor.
Uh-huh.
And as one of his many inventions, he found that, you know, they have all the inventions for shifting focal length. I do notice that they do affect my ability to judge distances and depth. And I think what the recommendations would be that, you know, while you're in your 50s and you've got relatively good strength, balance and reaction time, you can get away with the disability,
mm-hmm.
But by the time you get into your 70s and possibly your 80s, if you've got, you know, associated age-related changes in your balance and your strength and your reaction time's not as good, that's the time to give them up.
Yes, I can confirm your anecdotal evidence. I'm someone in his 60s who, you know, wears these progressive lenses, and when mm-hmm. I go outside walking with them, I do occasionally find that the sidewalk jumps up at me. it doesn't literally jump up at me, but there are bumps that I'm not seeing through the bottoms. And so this it impressed me as marvelously practical advice. Yeah. If you're trying to address the question of falls in the elderly,
it's pretty clear that, you know, if you compare a person's vision from their upper lens to their lower lens, when you're looking at their distance vision, their ability to judge depth is definitely decreased, and their ability to judge contrast, and that's like, you know, the ability to see edges mm-hmm. in the environment is also significantly reduced. So it's pretty clear, you know, it's a fairly straightforward practical idea that, you know, if you walk around in an unfamiliar territory with blurred vision where you actually need to see, you know, increases your risk.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised that the number needed to treat among the active participants who got these single focal length glasses was about 3 people to prevent 1 injurious fall within 12 months. That seemed to say that a lot of people are falling down.
Well, that's true. I mean, if we looked at the population as a whole, I think 40% suffered one or more fall in the follow-up year, and the average rate of falls was about 1.7. So on average, everyone's having 1.7 falls a year. This is consistent with all the other studies of older people, and where the rates are consistently reported of 35-40% falling one or more times in a year, and 20% falling twice. So this is, I guess, the trade-off that we're talking about. If the risk of falls is that high, and this is a risk factor, and the consequences of some falls being, fractures, and the very worst case, the fractured hip, you've got, this is a simple thing to change, and it's a trade-off between a loss of convenience and the risk of possibly, a life-threatening injury.
It seems almost like a good investment to make on a national scale. Make sure everybody above a certain age has a pair of lenses that they can put on when they go outside. We'll get to that, but it might be a good idea.
Well, this is the next step. There have been many geriatricians have always been aware of this issue and they've made recommendations, but you need randomized control evidence to progress things, and hopefully this works in that regard.
Yeah.
But there is a cost implication, and that's the additional pair of glasses. But in the scheme of things, it's not an enormous cost, and single lens glasses are cheaper than the multifocal ones. A single lens is fairly inexpensive.
There was a commentary in the BMJ, and at the end, the commentator mentions that doctors ought to consider vision, and optometrists ought to consider falls. Do you think that's good advice?
I think so, and yes, there's clearly more to vision than, the ability to just read the paper clearly, and also to, watch TV. And it goes, vision's crucial for mobility. We use our vision all of the time, basically like radar, for our sense of the upright, our sense of our bearings, as well as detecting hazards. And, it's crucial for mobility, and it's a big thing in older age when, immobility, instability becomes much more common.
Professor Lord, given your research, what do you hope that clinicians will do differently next week than they were doing this week, say?
There are three main recommendations that really come from the work. And it's for older people who've got, minimal correctable distance error, so their vision's quite good, they just should avoid multifocal glasses altogether. Mm-hmm. And so these people only require reading glasses for near vision. And they can take them off when they're walking around. So lots of people who've just got good distance vision are given multifocals for convenience, and that's pretty clear for them. Just a pair of reading glasses will be adequate.
Yeah.
But then for older people who do need, corrections for their distance vision, and those who go frequently outside, they should use single-lens glasses when they are outdoors in unfamiliar settings, and their multifocals or reading glasses at other times. But for the older ones and frail, who don't go out all that much, there would be no change. Based on our evidence, they should continue to use their multifocals.
All right.
So that would be the advice. I think one of the crucial things in why our study worked where it did was that it wasn't just the provision of a second pair of glasses, though. It was the provision of the second pair of glasses with some counselling and a strong rationale as to why it might be important. I think that's crucial. Otherwise, it won't work unless people understand the reason behind it all.
So that counselling is as important as the prescription.
It was a component in our study, and unless we showed people the difference between their upper and lower vision, and we showed them photographs of blurred sidewalks and so on, and the effect that the glasses will have, and just explained why this actually the mechanism behind it. And mostly, well, nearly everybody, when they left, said, I see, I get the point, I'll give it a go. But they all didn't carry on throughout the year, but at the point they could understand the rationale and could see why it was an issue.
Well, Professor Lord, this has been very interesting and I hope practical. I know it has been for me. I want to thank you for spending the time with us across all those miles today.
Oh, thank you very much. Pleasure.
That's it for this edition. Thanks for joining us. You can reach Clinical Conversations at 1-617-440-4374. Earlier podcasts are available at podcasts.jwatch.org, where links for all news stories can also be found. Clinical Conversations executive producer is Adora Yano. I'm Joe Elia. Join us next time.